When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. Welcome to the audio podcast of my show, Be My Guest. I've invited some really interesting people to visit me. Some are old friends and some are new friends. We'll share stories that will hopefully amuse and inspire you. And you're invited too. How fun is that? I love to invite interesting people to my house for good food, great conversation, and lots of fun. The amazing world-famous ballerina, Misty Copeland, principal dancer with the American Ballet Theatre, and someone I've always wanted to meet, is joining me for a fabulous day at the barn.
Ina has asked me over to cook with her. This is a dream come true. I can't wait.
I'm welcoming her with a delicious Kir Royale.
That's a good way to start the day.
Yeah. And herb ricotta bruschettas.
Good.
To celebrate her being here and to get our day off to a fabulous start. We're talking about her extraordinary childhood.
We were living in a motel, and no one in my life really knew about that.
Risking it all,
I packed up my school backpack and a couple of clothes I had and put them in my backpack and left.
And also, how her amazing career almost came to a dramatic end.
I knew that if I let the cat out of the bag, that I possibly wouldn't be allowed to go on stage and perform.
I'm going to cry again.
This is a problem.
Then Misty's showing me her citrus salmon and mashed butternut squash. A perfect simple dinner.
Be my guest.
Anytime.
I can't wait to meet Misty Copeland. I mean, it's not every day Prima Ballerina comes to visit me. And I thought it'd be nice to have something delicious when she gets here. So I'm going to make a little toast with herb ricotta on it. And for that, I need fresh herbs from my garden. It's such a gorgeous day, and the tomatoes are just amazing. Wow. I love to walk by and just eat them. Don't mind if I do. But now I need fresh dill and chives. So I've got my herbs, I'm gonna head inside, and in the meantime, let me tell you what I already know about Misty. Misty Copeland's life is a story of triumph over adversity. Born in Missouri and brought up in California, she came to ballet late at age 13, and against all odds, while living in a motel with her mom and five siblings, she was discovered at the after-school program at the Boys and Girls Club in San Pedro and won a full scholarship to the Cynthia Bradley Dance School. Within 1 year, she was dancing professionally, joining American Ballet's Corps de Ballet in 2001 and rising through the ranks to become one of the youngest ever soloists. In 2015, Misty made history, becoming ABT's first African-American principal dancer. A passionate campaigner and activist, Misty has launched her own foundation that's breaking barriers by bringing greater diversity and inclusion to ballet. She has performed in so many legendary productions like Firebird, Swan Lake, The Nutcracker, and Romeo and Juliet. She faced a career-threatening injury and fought her way back. It's no wonder she made it into Time Magazine's list of 100 Most Influential People. She's performed with Prince, starred in movies, the documentary Ballerina's Tale, which she also narrated. She's been a judge on TV and has written many best-selling books, including her memoir and several children's books. These days, Misty lives in New York with her lawyer husband, Olu Evans, and her young son. What an exciting ride, Misty. I mean, how inspiring was that? Can't wait to hear more. So I'm going to make herb ricotta first for the bruschetta. You can obviously buy ricotta in the store, but to make it yourself, it's so easy. Let me show you how I made this. Ricotta is surprisingly easy. I put whole milk into a pan with heavy cream and some salt. Brought it to a full rolling boil, stirring occasionally, and then turned off the heat. Then I added a splash of white wine vinegar and let it stand for a minute, just until the liquid curdled. Then poured it into a sieve lined with cheesecloth, set over a bowl, and let it drain for about 20 to 25 minutes. I mean, that was pretty easy, right? And it's so good, especially when it's a little warm. It's delicious. Now I'm going to add lots of good things. First, scallions. It's going to give it lots of flavor. And then herbs from my garden. Chives. And fresh dill. I want it minced really well. Salt and pepper. I want it well flavored. This is going to go on the a little toast, the bruschetta. So it's like creamy and crisp. It's a really good combination. Just mix it all in. I love the way that homemade ricotta, once you drain it, is just thick and creamy and so good. I actually love using fresh ricotta. Sometimes when I make a baked pasta dish, I'll put a dollop of fresh ricotta in the middle. It's so good. And it's actually also good with sweet things. Sometimes like a dollop of ricotta with fresh berries and a drizzle of honey. It's the simplest dessert. Okay, let's just make sure this is really delicious. Mmm, I love the fresh herbs. Okay, next I've got toast in the oven. And they're perfectly done. So this is how I made them. I took a baguette and I did big diagonal slices, burst them with olive oil, lots of salt and pepper, and toasted them at 375 for just about 6 to 8 minutes until they're nice and browned. And now I'm ready to build the bruschettas.
My gosh, it is so exciting because I have been a fan of hers for so many years. I learned to cook watching Ina. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to meet her. I can't wait to see what she's going to cook. I can't wait to cook for her. It's going to be an exciting day.
Okay, I'm going to build these. Let's see how good they look. Crisp and creamy, everything. Okay, a little ricotta on each toast on a plate. I understand Misty likes a nice Kir Royale the way I do. So I've got champagne chilling in the fridge. I think they'll be really good with this. I really can't believe she's coming. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh. Oh. Beautiful. This is so exciting. Here I come, Ina. Ina, I'm here.
Misty Copeland.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Are you really here?
I can't believe it.
How exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so honored. Oh,
my
you
goodness.
You have no idea. I am honored.
Are you kidding? That was the most gorgeous plié I've seen. Come with me.
Okay.
I have something to celebrate. You have lots of to celebrate, right?
Oh, yes, there's a lot going on, right?
Happening. And I understand your favorite drink is a Kir Royale, so I decided we would start out early this morning with a Kir Royale.
This is how you start the day.
This is Ina's world.
Love it.
So the first thing you have to celebrate is a new baby, right? Tell me about him.
Oh, Jackson, he's 6 months as of this past weekend.
He's a dream. He's, you know, it's more than I could have ever imagined.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
On so many levels, I'm so
Thank
happy
you
for
so
you, and I can't
much.
Wait to talk about it all.
Me too.
What you don't know about me is that I spent my childhood doing ballet, and I was never going to be a ballerina, but
like
I love
from,
it.
From what age to?
Maybe six, I was seven, something
gosh.
Like that. My mother used to take me for ballet class,
oh
and I
my
loved
goodness.
It. Doesn't one always remember when they got their first toe shoes?
Yes.
That was
yes.
like, how old were you? You were so much older than most
well,
girls, right?
I started at 13, and I got my first pair of point shoes, I think it was 2 months after I started training.
Because you were already physically ready for it?
They
usually takes like 3 years, doesn't it?
Or, I mean,
wow.
A lot of dancers will start, say, at 6 years old and just train in the ballet technique until maybe 13, and then
yeah.
from there they'll start to prepare for their point shoes. And so it was a very fast trajectory, and I wouldn't suggest that or recommend any young person put on point shoes that quickly.
But all you want to do is dance around the house in
yes.
them, right?
Thank you
Kia
so
Royale,
much.
To celebrate
yes.
you and babies and just
yes.
your being here. It's just
Thank
incredible.
Thank you so much.
Mm.
That's good. That's a good way
Isn't
to
that
start
good?
The day.
Yeah. I also made us some herbed ricotta toasts to go with a Kia Royale.
With some dill on top.
A little dill, fresh herbs.
Delicious.
Just a little breakfast toast. How's that?
Yes.
Here, we need three. We need sustenance.
Yes.
I have so much to talk to you about.
Yay, I can't
Let's
wait.
Go to the table and talk.
Okay.
How fun. Wow. So should we taste these?
Yes. Mmm.
Not bad.
Better than not bad. It's good.
So you have had one of the most unlikely ballet careers in history.
Yeah.
So you started out at a ballet class in a boys and girls club. Describe the boys and girls clubs because I think they're really important.
They are. They're a community center
mm-hmm.
That really focuses on giving children a space to be in the after school hours.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, growing up in San Pedro, California, and being one of six children, and my mother working, you know, two jobs
wow.
most of the time,
yeah.
You know, trying to keep a roof over our head and food on the table. And so after school ended, we could just walk over to the Boys and Girls Club and we'd get mentoring and tutoring and be able to be a part of, you know, whether it was sports.
So it was like a second home to you.
It was
you.
Like a second
yeah.
home. It was
yeah.
like a second home.
That's wonderful.
And so to be able to be introduced to arts and ballet specifically there, it completely changed the course of my life.
But you'd never been to a ballet and you'd never heard classical music. What did you connect with there?
Initially, I didn't connect
you didn't?
With it.
Yeah.
I think I was just so afraid of doing something outside of my comfort zone that I couldn't even see the possibilities. So I would go into the bleachers in the gym, the basketball
yeah.
court, and I would hide out. Because I was being pushed to go and take this class, but I wasn't ready to step onto the court, so I would just
mm-hmm.
watch. And finally, the ballet teacher, Cynthia Bradley, she pulled me out onto the court one day, and I was in my gym clothes and socks, and she said she knew I was a prodigy from the first time that she took my leg and lifted it into the air and I could hold it, and she invited me to join her school on full scholarship, and that's
and
where
I love
my
what she said about
began.
You. She said you will dance for kings and queens, and you will have a life that no one could have imagined.
Oh, she did say that.
She saw that in you.
She did.
It makes me cry
oh.
just thinking about it. I don't even know her, and I love her. Because she changed the course of ballet with it. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah.
So then you went from that free class to a full scholarship to Cynthia Bradley's class.
Yes.
And what did that feel like?
It was the first time that I felt like I had a voice
mm-hmm.
in a way that worked for me, which is why the arts are so important
mm-hmm.
and to have in schools. Because not everyone, you know, learns in this linear way
mm-hmm.
and I didn't
exactly. yeah.
and I my grades improved, everything improved once I started
mm-hmm.
ballet and I was hearing the music and connecting it to my feelings and emotions and the physicality of things, but it was being in the studio and feeling like I was a part of a community
yeah.
and seeing myself in the mirror, I felt beautiful for the first time in my life. And I think also being a middle child and being one of six children,
yeah.
I had focus on me.
Yeah.
That
somebody was like a bright light on you.
Right. that I wasn't sharing with everyone.
So you're doing really well at ballet class, and then your mom asked you to stop.
That was really, really difficult time for me. You know, we were at such a low point in our lives. You know, my mother was not working at the time, and we were living in a motel. And no one in my life really knew about that. That was something that I kept to myself. And Cynthia Bradley, my mother called her and let me know that we wouldn't be able to have the transportation and be able to get me back and forth to ballet class every day, so I was going to have to stop. So Cynthia drove me home.
She offered to drive you home.
She offered to drive me home.
And it was the first time somebody had seen where you lived.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
It was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like this secret I had held close to me for, you know, almost a year. It was humiliating. I felt, and it was hard to say goodbye to Cindy as well. I didn't think I'd ever see her again.
Wow.
I thought it was over, and I walked into the room and closed the door. And a couple of minutes later, we heard a knock on the door, and it was Cynthia. She had turned around, come back, asked to talk to my mother, and I remember seeing them from afar, watching them kind of whisper to one another. And my mother turned around and said to me, Cynthia has invited you to live with her so you can continue training. And it was shocking. It was not at all what I imagined they were talking about or would be a possibility. And my mother let me go that night, and I ended up living with
that
Bradley's.
Night?
That night.
Wow.
I didn't have a lot of things. I packed up my school backpack and a couple of clothes I had and put them in my backpack and left.
Wow. What a generous thing for your mother to do.
Yeah.
So she put your needs over hers.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah.
I'm gonna cry through this whole thing. You don't mind, do you?
It was such an
incredible
moment, you know, for these two women to come together and both sacrificing to give me this opportunity, because Cynthia knew what the possibilities were for my career, and she knew, she saw American Ballet Theatre in my future.
That's
what she was introducing me to. She had this whole idea and trajectory of what my career was going to be, which, you know, I just kind of went with the flow, but I didn't really believe that it was actually going to happen that way.
So now, are you dancing on stage?
She immediately threw me onto the stage. I was performing the lead in The Nutcracker within 8 months. I was Clara.
Yeah.
By the time I was 15, I was away in San Francisco training with the San Francisco Ballet School on full scholarship. And then the following year, I went to American Ballet Theatre.
And you were 15?
I was 15.
Wow.
So that's where my journey began.
So now you're at AABT.
Yes. 2000 was when I officially moved to New York City. You know, I was now a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah, exactly.
Once I got to ABT, maybe in the second year of being there was when I stepped back and realized, like, wow, this is a big company. It's, you know, almost 90 dancers.
Wow.
And I was the only Black woman.
Wow.
And it would be that way for the first decade of my career, that I was the only Black woman in the company. But, you know, there were just kind of small things that would happen, you know, whether it was this tradition of being in the classical ballet world where they have what are called ballet blanc, and these are white ballets. So they are ballets that in the second act, so in Swan Lake, in the second act, you have a stage full of white swans in white tutus and pale pink tights. You have in La Bayadere, the same thing in the second act. A lot of the time, they're these ethereal characters, and everyone's to look uniform, and being the only brown person, I was being told to put white makeup on my skin in order to blend in. And it's really incredible to think that, you know, in 2002, 2001, that still was happening. And these are things that have been happening for generations and generations in opera and television, you know.
And everything.
And I think that was one of the first times that it really hit me and made me question whether or not this was really the career for me. And if
But whether your goal was even attainable.
Or, I mean, when you don't see anyone who looks like you, and you don't necessarily have a support system in a way within the bounds of the ballet world, people that look like you. I was also growing up and maturing and just thinking, like, this doesn't really seem like a reality.
And did you at some point think about quitting?
Oh, yes. There were several times that I just felt like I didn't think that I could really move up and be in a supportive environment. I remember going home and having conversation with Olu, my then boyfriend, who is now my husband, and having this, you know, deep conversation about whether this is really what I want. I mean, ABT had been my goal and my dream, you know, the repertoire that they perform, the history and lineage of dancers who have been there, and I couldn't give it up. I just felt deep down inside that when will there be another opportunity for a Black woman to be in this company? I don't know. So I need to take the leap and fight to be here and create change.
So fast forward 2007.
Yes.
Firebird was your first solo role. That must have been incredible.
It's one of the most difficult, I think, pieces of music to dance to.
It
really takes knowing it inside and out. And, you know, you put in all of those hours of training and rehearsal so that you can adjust to things that are happening in the moment once you step onto the stage, because there's a lot that's out of our control. I mean, I've had so many moments with partners where things have just gone wrong and you have to be agile and you have to be able to make adjustments. And, you know, whether it's going up into a big lift, and I mean, I've had things go wrong where I've slipped off of a partner's hand
and what happens?
And you find ways around it. I'll grab his arm and I'd stay soft on top and move my arm so they will never know that I'm supposed to be up there and not down here.
Wow,
or even,
that's incredible.
Even falling on stage, like the challenge of like how you recover is so intriguing to me. Falling on stage and having the whole audience go, oh, and then you're like, I have to win them back.
Tell me about opening night of Firebird.
The audience was more than half Black.
Seriously.
And younger than we'd ever seen.
Wow.
It was a sold-out performance.
Shocked.
It was the most incredible thing that any of us had ever seen.
The pressure must have been enormous, but you had a secret.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, it was a secret that I kept from everyone in my life that I was dealing with severe pain in my shin, in my tibia. I knew that if I let the cat out of the bag, that I possibly wouldn't be allowed to go on stage and perform. I would have had to go into physical therapy, or I would be missing so many rehearsals that I wouldn't be prepared to go on stage to actually perform the Firebird. So I was doing everything that I could to manage the pain, and it wasn't until after the performance that the pain was so insurmountable that I could not push through. It was the next morning that I came to the decision that I have to face reality. And so I went into the artistic director's office and I said, I have to pull out of the rest of the season. Wow. I think I have a serious injury. And that's when I finally faced the doctor and had an x-ray and found out the severity of the situation.
And talk about hitting a wall.
I was out for a year.
Doctors told you you were never going to dance again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been that one moment and then it was over. And what did you do to stay in the game? You weren't about to let that happen.
I was not. I needed to find something that I could control. Mm-hmm. And I found an incredible teacher who was teaching floor bar classes.
Floor bar. Describe floor bar.
Yes. You're laying on your back, or you're laying on your stomach, or you're laying on your side, and you're literally doing all of the exercises that you would do standing in a ballet class.
Yeah.
You're doing the pliés and you're doing the tendus, but you don't have gravity. You don't have the weight of your body, really. And I did this for the entire year. In between, I had a surgery. I had a plate screwed into my tibia with screws. One of the most incredible things was coming back to the stage and having my artistic director say to me that he felt that I had improved in the time off.
That's incredible.
I couldn't believe, I was like, that was the goal, that I was going to work on the things that I could
and
control.
And not lose it.
And not
but
lose
that you'd improved.
It.
Okay, fast forward, 2015. You went from the lowest low to the highest highs.
Was, I think, the last week of our season, our eight-week season, and we had a full company meeting. Mm-hmm. And within the meeting, Kevin McKenzie, our artistic director, turned to me. He had made a couple of announcements of promotions of, corps de ballet dancers to soloists. Mm-hmm. And he turned to me and he just said, "Misty, take a bow." And everyone knew that that was it. That was how
everyone
he was telling
knew.
Me that I was being promoted to principal dancer.
The first Black woman to do a principal role for ABT.
It was so emotional.
I'm going to cry again.
This
is a problem. Isn't that gorgeous?
But to be surrounded by my peers who have been with me on this journey, I mean, it's such a supportive environment that I think a lot of people don't realize that it's not as cutthroat and competitive as you see in films and on television, the classical ballet world.
Yeah.
But this is like family, that since I was 17 years old and I've traveled the world with, and we spend more time together than our own families. It was very emotional, but then the meeting ends and it's like, all right, get to rehearsal. You got a show to put on tonight.
So I heard somewhere that you told someone that if you weren't a dancer, you'd be a chef. Is that possible?
One can dream. But yes.
Do you love to cook?
There's something about being in the kitchen, especially after a long day of dancing, and yes, you're on your feet when you're cooking, but that's it makes me unwind. It's very creative.
Yeah.
It centers me. It grounds
me. It's totally engaging.
It's engaging.
Yeah. And when did you start cooking? Because I think your mom wasn't a cook, right?
My mom did not cook.
she could get a cup of noodles.
We all kind of just would fend for ourselves.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. And once I moved to New York when I was 17 years old, and I was thrust into this adult world and, had to survive on my own, it was like, I have to cook for myself. I need to fuel my body. I'm an athlete, all of these things. And I would watch you, I would watch the Food Network, I would, through different cookbooks, and I was just self-taught.
What was the very first thing you taught yourself how to cook?
Oh my goodness, the very first thing. You know, I can't remember the exact first thing, but black bean soup with limed shrimp was one of the first dishes that I felt really comfortable with, and it became like my go-to.
That's great.
No matter if it was summer or winter, I was making it.
I love that. It sounds delicious. So what's next? What do you feel like? I always feel like if I can just continue doing what I'm doing right now, I'll be happy. But I think you always look ahead a little bit, don't you?
I do.
What do you feel like would like to happen next?
You know, I would love to continue to be a part of the ballet world forever. You know, that's
and
not
the ballet
something
world
that
hopes you will.
I have a foundation that I just launched, the Misty Copeland Foundation, and we have a program that we've started where we're going into boys and girls clubs and community centers with an after-school ballet program.
Which gave your whole life wings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. It's called Be Bold. It's Ballet Explorations. Ballet offers leadership development.
Oh, how great.
So to really, you know, I think give, especially underprivileged communities, make them feel that this is a world that you can be a part of, and that it's not just about taking ballet class. It's about creating future leaders and giving you the tools to go on to be whatever it is you want to be.
To ballet, and most of all, to you.
Yes, and to cooking. I can't wait
to show you
something. I can't believe I'm even saying that. I'm going to show you anything.
No, in the kitchen. I can learn from everybody. What are we going to make?
I'm going to make a butternut squash mash and a citrus salmon.
Two of my favorite things. Cheers.
Cheers.
Have fun. So show me what to do. Put me to work.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to start with the marinade.
Okay.
And while I am mixing it together, you can just mince the scallions.
Okay. I know how to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Better than I do.
No, I don't think so.
So we're going to start with the brown sugar.
Okay.
Then we're going to add orange juice. Now, at home, I would not be measuring like this.
Yeah.
I like to just feel it out and toss it all in there.
Okay, I measure everything. I'm just the opposite. Even when it's my own recipe, I measure it.
Oh, you do?
I do. I'm just so careful.
Yeah.
So what's this?
So this is low-sodium soy sauce.
Okay.
And now we're going to add the white wine vinegar. And so this is one of Olu's favorite dishes.
Yeah. Do you make it a lot?
I do make it a lot.
Well, it's easy, which is one of the key ingredients, right?
Yes. A little bit of salt. You're going to add some white pepper.
You use white pepper. That's interesting.
White pepper. We're going to mix it together a little bit.
How finely do you like this? Is that too coarse? That's okay?
Nope, that's
okay.
Totally fine. So we're going to mix that, and then we're going to add in the scallions. So this is going to serve as a marinade.
Yeah,
the salmon, and then it's also going. We're going to make a sauce.
Oh, how great! So you get both out of it.
We're going to get both.
I love doing that.
It's really one of my favorites. It's got such a great mix of the sweet and the citrus and the orange. It's really perfect.
Okay, there's a lot of scallions. Fabulous.
Yes,
I love it.
So we're going to add that into the marinade.
Okay, I'll do this, and then I have more. So you cook the marinade, like half of it?
So we're going to have half as the marinade that we're going to pour over the salmon, and then we're going to have half as the sauce that's going to go into our sauce pan.
Perfect. So what are your other go-to dishes?
Oh,
the things you make a lot?
We eat a lot of salads.
Yeah.
And we're Californians, me and my husband, so we love our avocados. That goes
I love
in a lot.
Avocados.
Yes.
You know, because it gives substance to a
it
salad,
really does.
Doesn't it?
And it actually was, Jackson just had avocado for the first time.
Yeah?
And he loved
and
it.
And he loved it?
Yes. So we're going to start, we're going to pour half of it over.
So is it like about a pound of salmon?
It's a pound of salmon.
Okay. Great.
And we're going to put that in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And we're going to let that marinate for about 20 minutes. And then we're going to put some of it here. And we're going to turn it to a low heat. And we're going to let that simmer for
thirty-five minutes.
And we're going to let it thicken. It's eventually going to pour over the salmon.
Fabulous. Okay. So should I put this in the fridge?
Yes. You can get the salmon marinating in the fridge. And then we're going to get to work on our butternut squash. So I'm really putting you to work. So could you bring over the pot for me?
Big pot.
Yes. So we're just going to add the squash in there. And then I'm going to have you put water, maybe just an inch above where the squash is.
Okay. I'm the water expert. I can do that. I love mashed butter and squash because it has great texture.
It really does.
And the sweetness will be really good with the salmon.
Yeah. So we're going to get that on over a high heat and we're going to let it come to a boil before we bring it down to a simmer.
How's that? Is that enough?
That's
more?
Perfect.
That's perfect?
That's perfect, yes.
So let me put this on the on the heat. Big burner. That'll do it. Are we done?
We're done. Well, we're done. We're going to let that simmer. We're going to let this come to a boil.
Okay.
We have our sauce thickening.
It smells so good.
I know, it smells delicious. We have our salmon marinating in the refrigerator.
I can't wait for this to come together. Missy's showing me one of her go-to dinners, which is citrus salmon and mashed butternut squash, right? So what's next?
So we're going to take the salmon out of the refrigerator where it's been marinating for 20 minutes.
Perfect.
It's yummy and good to go.
Oh, so good.
So we're going to transfer this to a new dish.
Okay.
Because I don't want so much marinade going into the broiler.
Ah.
It's got sugar in there. We don't want it to burn. So if you can just get that over into the dish.
Idea.
And then I'm just going to put a little bit of the remaining marinade left that we're going to get
top.
Rid of.
On okay,
top.
Great.
So
if you wanted to, could you cook this marinade and make the sauce?
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Probably could, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Which I like to have a little extra in case I burn it.
Oh, yeah.
Go away for 30 seconds.
Don't tell anybody.
And it's, and it's gone. Okay.
Okay, so this goes away.
We can get rid of that.
Okay.
And we're going to get this into the broiler.
Great.
For about between 10 and 12 minutes.
Isn't it amazing how fast that is?
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Okay.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to get our butternut squash over to the sink.
Okay.
To drain the water out. All right. So we're just going to mix this, mash it up right in the
pot. Right in the pot?
So
okay.
You can just bring that over.
Am I chief masher?
Yes, you can be chief masher.
I can be chief masher.
And I will add in our ingredients.
Okay, good.
How
great.
About that?
And the masher.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. This is great.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I do this in a mixer, like an electric mixer.
Yes.
But it's so easy just to do in the pot you cooked it in.
That's great as well to do it in a mixer and get a really good
consistency.
Okay,
so what are you putting in?
So we're doing maple syrup.
Of course, because I love maple syrup.
About a third
butternut squash. Perfect.
I think that's perfectly third cup.
I love that you don't measure anything.
Half.
Isn't that great?
I know.
A little bit of cream?
A little bit of half and half there,
half
yes.
And half. Yeah.
Just a pinch of salt.
Mm.
We're going to stick to our white pepper in the theme of our dish that we have today, our
perfect.
White pepper. And we're going to get that mashed up.
How
we're
mashed?
Almost done. We're going to get it to the consistency of a mashed potato.
Okay.
Yep.
It looks funny, I don't usually use a masher, but it's so easy.
It's really mashing really well.
Right. With your life, I can't imagine you have a lot of time to entertain, but do you?
I love to entertain. You know, when I first started out at ABT and in the company, you know, I have a big family, and so I'm used to having these family gatherings and a lot of people. So I would always host Thanksgiving dinner.
Would you really?
Yes. And
that's like a week-long proposition.
I know.
My God.
I would host Thanksgiving dinner and have dancers from the company over. And, I mean, it's something I do love to
do. Isn't that great?
Yes.
That's even my favorite meal.
One of mine, too.
And this is probably one of the dishes on the menu, right?
Yes, it is.
Any cooking disasters beside burning the
sauce?
Like
I was just telling you, burning the sauce. I've had a lot of cooking disasters. You know, I used to do a cooking competition with another dancer at ABT, and we would do it during our spring season at the Met. So I would prepare everything at home, and then I'd bring it all to Lincoln Center, and we'd set it all up. And I remember one year I made sliders. We were competing with sliders, and I used turkey meat. And I over-seasoned this batch. It was ridiculous, and I didn't know what to do, and it's like 10 in the morning, and I've got to make it to ballet class and rehearsal.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I fix this meat? So I bought more turkey meat, and I just put it in there. It was terrible. You just got to start
over. You can't
over.
Fix it.
You can't fix it. So I lost that one.
We've all had those.
Yes. And what are some cooking disasters you might have had?
Or I never have cooking disasters.
That's what I thought.
So does Alo cook for you?
Yeah, he has. He doesn't cook often, but when he does, it's delicious. Yeah. It's one go-to dish, and it's
is it like Jeffrey's, which is coffee?
Luckily, it has more substance than coffee. It's a Mediterranean dish, garbanzo beans. It has a tomato base and over couscous.
It sounds great.
It's really good, and he's really good at it. But it takes him a while.
And do you have to clean up afterwards?
Maybe.
That's good. It's always good when one person cooks and the other one cleans up, right?
Yes, it is. And he's usually doing the cleaning for me.
That's good. I think we're actually nearly there.
Yes.
Can't wait to taste this. So we've finally put it all together.
Yes.
We've got citrus salmon and butternut squash.
Yes.
Can't wait to taste it.
Yeah, the salmon is ready.
Okay.
I can
and
get
I'll put
that
the butternut squash in.
Why don't you get that plated?
I love cooking in the kitchen with Misty.
Oh.
Look how pretty this looks together.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
All right, so how would you suggest that I cut this? Do you think I should go long ways?
Yeah, I might go the long way. I think that would look really pretty.
Okay, so we're going to get those over our bed of butternut squash.
Mm, smells so good.
And then I'm just going to drizzle some of this.
Oh, this is the sauce that you made out of the marinade. Isn't that great? Wow. And that's the scallions in it that gives it texture.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Should I put a little salt on it, or do you
Yeah, you can
salt?
Put, yes, you can
a
put a little
bit
salt,
of salt on it. I always
Delicious.
Think seasoning something at the end is really fabulous.
And we are ready.
Oh, I can't wait to taste it.
Yeah, me too.
I love cooking with you. It's just been so great.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Mm.
It's really good.
It's so good. Why don't we take these? It's such a gorgeous day and go in the garden.
Great.
Does that sound like fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Come with me. Such a gorgeous day.
It's gorgeous.
It's just gorgeous out.
Perfect.
We got the fire bowl going. That's really just great. I never leave home. Uh-huh. Is this the perfect evening or what?
Oh,
my God.
Is.
And the perfect dinner and the perfect dinner date.
Yes.
Would you like a little wine?
I would love some. Yes.
What a great night. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for dinner.
Thank you for having me.
Can't wait to taste it. This butternut squash was so good.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
It's a little nerve-wracking. What you don't understand about cooks is they are so delighted when somebody cooks for them. They don't even care.
Yes.
But I'm sure it's delicious.
Is it good?
Oh, it's so good. The marinade is so citrusy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little sweet, which is just fantastic.
It is, I think it's
subtle. And with the butternut squash, it's amazing. And I love the drizzle on it.
I'm very happy with how it turned
out. I love it. I love it. I'll be making it for sure. Okay, you ready for a pop quiz?
I'm ready.
What's the movie you've seen the most?
You know, I have a thing for old movies.
Yeah, me too.
And I love The Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, you do?
Isn't that interesting? Ava Gardner.
It's a very dark movie.
It is.
But so good.
I would fall asleep watching it.
Wow.
It is a very dark movie, but
isn't she fabulous?
She's fantastic.
And so underrated.
There's the dance sequence, and she does this whole Spanish dance with the man.
I remember that, yeah.
And
isn't that interesting?
I've watched it far too many times.
What's the food that makes you happy?
I love bacon.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think the smell of bacon makes everybody happy.
The smell of bacon. I stopped eating meat for... I think 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, I woke up one morning and I thought, I want bacon. And that ended
my... that was that. What's the worst job you've ever had?
Oh, my goodness. So I pretty much have only ever done ballet for a living.
Wow.
But I had one job as a bartender.
Yeah.
I was hired to come and serve in someone's home privately as their bartender.
Yeah.
And I would say that's probably the worst job that I've had. I mean,
You'll have to do it again.
I hope not. I'm a dancer, and my feet were one of the worst feelings I've had standing on my feet for that many hours.
Yeah. What's the best job you've ever had?
Performing as a ballerina. Oh my gosh.
And the good news is you get to do it a lot, which
I
is
do.
Good for us. What's the best present you've ever gotten?
It was very inexpensive, but it just meant so much. It was from my husband. He got it in Argentina. It's this little wooden box, and you open it up, and there's a ladybug inside, and it pops out, and it says, "I love you" on it.
Oh.
And I keep it with me in my purse, and
oh,
it just,
how lovely.
It, what it means is
it's
so
everything.
Much. Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I've had the best day ever.
So
thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's just been wonderful getting to know you.
Me too.
More to follow.
Yes. Today was so amazing and special. I can't believe I was in Ina's kitchen showing her how to make a dish I've been making for years. Oh my gosh, today was just incredible. I can't wait to come back, and I know that I have a friend for life.
I just love getting to know Misty Copeland. She's so grounded and inspiring. What a great day. It was so much fun to be with her. Thank you for listening to Be My Guest. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a moment, I'd love to hear your comments on Apple Podcasts. I'll be back next week with new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you'll join us.